Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you Thursday, May the 28th, 2020, 19 minutes past the hour, and away we go. I do want to remind you again, 4 to 6 p.m. today, it is the Charlie Evers autobiography. Got it right that time. Born to Broadcast, produced and hosted by Adam Leppin. I have not heard this, folks, so I can't tell you what's going to be there, but I know it's going to be fun listening to Charlie's best of clips over the last 6 years here, and seeing what Adam has picked, and also filling in the blanks on Charlie's career. Should be a lot of fun. Adam does a great job with that. 4:10 to 6 p.m. today, Charlie Evers, Born to Broadcast, here on this station. And we might be hearing from Adam this morning, and maybe he'll give us a little preview as to what is coming up later in the day here on WWGH Radio, 4:10 to 6 p.m. Also this weekend, don't forget, if you love Charlie Evers, which I know everybody does, starting at 1 p.m. on Friday until 8 a.m. Monday morning, with only three exceptions all weekend, nothing but Charlie Evers shows, and shows that Charlie hosted over the last 6 years. So don't miss that. So there we are with that. Those are the plugs. 740-383-9944. If you have anything you want to talk about, this is your time. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. We certainly thank Barb Fleming for calling in an hour number one there. That was a great memory. And, you know, when you're in Marion around Marion for 60-plus years, you come in contact with a lot of people, and you do a lot of things. And that certainly is the case in this particular situation. And now, this is important. In the business of radio, in the business of getting things right here, I was informed, because I was telling you in hour number one, if you're just tuning in, that Amy, Charlie's daughter, took these great pictures of Charlie over the last month of his life, and had the presence of mind to do so. Took these great pictures, and they've been posted on Facebook now. Charlie's daughter Kathy posted a couple last night. Amy, I think, posted one yesterday. I think Angie has posted one. And these pictures are just tremendous. And, you know, it's not just your average picture taker. Honest to goodness, if I had taken these pictures, you would have seen the ceiling or something like that. Maybe, you know, the side of the window. I can't take a picture to save my life. It's awful. Me and pictures do not get along. Now, I can get in pictures if other people are taking them, but for me to take a picture, no. I don't have that talent. And I think pictures are very important. And obviously these pictures are very poignant and important. So as I say, kudos to Amy for that. But what I want to correct here, I said that she worked at Cubberley's, which she did, but not as a picture taker. You know what? They call picture takers photographers. That just crossed my mind. See, this is radio. You have no idea what you're saying. Picture taker. That's what I would call somebody who worked at a photography studio, a picture taker. No, a photographer. Oh, man. Okay, she was not a photographer. She was a salesperson. But you know what? She must have picked something up there because these pictures are great. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen them on Facebook. So there's that. And again, phone lines are open if you have anything to say. 740-383-9944. 23 minutes past the hour on this Thursday morning. One more day left this week. And we're going to turn our attention right now to the big special today. Charlie Evers, Born to Broadcast, 4:10 to 6 p.m. on this station. Produced and hosted by our very own Adam Lepp. And I do want to say this, Adam has done this on very short order. He found out about Charlie's passing on Monday morning and has put together this special within the last 48 hours. Had it done yesterday. And it is ready to go for broadcast today for your listening pleasure. Now, I don't know what's on this special. I have not heard it yet. I will be listening today along with you. But to give us a little preview, here is our very own Adam Lepp. Adam, good morning.
Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars, and anybody else who is of much higher importance than myself.
Well, no. You're of high importance today, Adam, because this is a special we all want to hear. Like I said, I've been so busy this week, I did not get a chance to preview it last night, so I'm as excited as the listening audience today to hear this 4:10 to 6 p.m.
Well, we have more highlights with David or Mr. McFeely, certainly a personal favorite of mine, as you know. I grew up with Mr. Rogers and all of his friends. Charlie, of course, a native of Bucyrus. We have a clip from the Bucyrus Bratwurst festivities. Certainly, there are parts where you're talking with Charlie and he's taking a couple calls. So just some tidbits. You can't really take a 60-plus radio career and stick it into a two-hour show. That would be impossible, but I took some good clips and added some of my own commentary. We do a full biography of Charlie. Again, it...
You still there, Adam? Oh, see, this happens in radio, too. We get disconnected from our callers. Adam, are you still there? Call back, Adam. Something happened. We got disconnected. You know, I think there are gremlins in the telephone line. I think there are gremlins in the studio this morning. Something's going on here this morning. Hopefully it'll be done by the time Glenn gets in here at 10 o'clock with James Anderson to talk about all kinds of interesting things. Adam, call back. We want to know. You know, I'm so glad that Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival broadcast is highly featured in today's retrospective of Charlie's career from 4:10 until 6 p.m. because, boy, did we have fun that day. You know, that's something that's worth talking about, and maybe I'll do that later on this morning. Adam, are we back?
Yeah, I was just talking, and suddenly the phone beeped. I'm not sure what's going on.
We got through Bratwurst Festival, so pick it up there.
The Lady Justice, which you know, didn't really occur to me how large of a issue that was, but also kind of gets into where the song goes, maybe on top of the courthouse. So Charlie is someone with tenacity, a lot like myself, doesn't give up. He wants to get something done. He gets it done. He talks to the right people, and never left a job unfinished. So that was pretty much an example of that. Another personal favorite of mine, Lulu. Of course, I spoke with her and met her and got some photos, even got one for a friend in Tennessee. So snippet of his conversation with Lulu Roman, another show that I grew up watching and still like to watch occasionally online. His first show and his last show, those were also included. So multiple pieces. And just kind of with my own perspective on what the guy meant to me, I see some similarities in Charlie's style with mine. I'm kind of folksy, and again, as we've talked about, he's very folksy. Didn't have the traditional big radio voice, and I don't think I do either. But his delivery and how the voice fit his perspective and what he means couldn't be better. It isn't always the traditional voice. Sometimes it's just the personality and the voice that kind of go together. And that's something I think anybody would feel about Charlie. So you mentioned also a kind of distinctive. I know I confused Jeff with Glenn last week. And honestly, they do sound a lot alike. I never really realized that. But they don't look alike, but there is a similarity. But Charlie, you would never confuse him with anybody. You'd know exactly whom you were hearing. When you hear two syllables, you know that it's Charlie. Like some musicians, I mean, you hear Eddie Van Halen's guitar for 5 seconds, you know that it's him. So Charlie was in that class, and you know, threefold, Scott, a great American, and great citizen of the area, a great father and grandfather, and of course a great broadcaster.
I'm just so glad that Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival remote is highly featured in this special today, because that's from 2018, the Bratwurst Festival. And what is amazing to me about that, I believe Charlie was either 83 or on the verge of being, I guess it would have been on the verge, because I think the Bratwurst Festival happens in August. It was an awful day because it was storming when he arrived at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then it got extremely hot because it's August, and all this water was on the ground, and it was very humid that day. And Charlie's from Bucyrus, and I didn't know anything about Bucyrus. As a matter of fact, I hadn't even probably been to the Bratwurst Festival in 10 years. I certainly didn't know the sheriff. I certainly didn't know what a dirndl was. I certainly didn't know the people at Carly's. I knew nothing. And Charlie just sat down at a card table in front of the office, picked up the microphone, and did 4 hours. And it was as tight a 4 hours as any broadcaster would ever do. Didn't use a note, 83 years old, outside in the heat, never asked for a break. Charlie never asked for anything, by the way. I can honestly, in the 15 years I knew him, and the 6 years I worked very close with him at this station, I don't think Charlie ever asked me for anything. I don't even know if he ever asked me for a cup of water.
Yeah, he's unique. I kind of made a joke when I first joined the station. I was kind of dumb, but you said you'd never even seen Charlie use the bathroom before.
No,
that's,
you know,
it's kind of moving,
that's, it's a crazy thing to say, but to be honest with you, I mean, this is insane, but broadcasters will understand this, so this is not tales out of school.
We make the jokes about playing Stairway to Heaven or American Pie if you have to.
Right, because you know what?
When I was in music radio, I had a list of songs for different activities, and that's... Any broadcaster can giggle when I say that. But, yeah, Charlie just had that unique stigma. Kind of think about the Brady Bunch. Remember, they didn't have a bathroom in their kids. They didn't have a toilet in their kids' bathroom because the toilet was considered, I guess, too risque. I'm like, okay, well, Charlie just doesn't use the bathroom. I don't know. You know, there's certain things. He was, like, superhuman in some ways. I mean, he was, considering his longevity and all that he did. He was a superhuman.
Well, it was funny in a way because, to be honest with you, I think what that was, the best I can chalk it up to, I think he prepared. I think he knew that he was going to be on the air for a long period of time, and I think that he knew that he was very professional. He would not have walked away from a microphone during a live broadcast, and I think he understood, you know, human nature. You have to go to the bathroom at times, and there are things you can do to stop that by not drinking a lot or eating certain things before a broadcast.
But every broadcaster drinks coffee while they're on the air. I mean, or something. I mean, you know, you and I like our Diet Coke, or that, you know, the famous 5-year-old egg dog in the refrigerator. I guess you could always drink that if you're daring.
Well, I don't think you'd finish the broadcast if you got into that 5-year-old eggnog.
But yeah, I mean, you and I will get a super gulp from Speedway and drink it while we're on the air. I can assure you that I do that.
Well, I think it all comes back to preparation with Charlie. I think he understood what the broadcast was going to entail, and I think he came with that in mind, and he got the job done every single time. And that again is a testament to the man. Same thing at the fair. You know, he would go to the fair and we'd be there 4 or 5 hours. Same type of thing. He never really left his post. He was right there.
Yeah, you never took notes. I mean, I come in pretty much just off the top of my head. I do better that way. But he just was one of a kind. And as I talk about on the show, and I've mentioned multiple times on my own shows, he was a walking encyclopedia or almanac of the Mid-Ohio area. Always had a story, yes. Always curious. I really just one of a kind. I mean, combining a professional broadcaster with a historian, someone who just loved the area, and being a family man, sprinkling in aspects of that while he was on the air. Really quite unique. I mean, like nothing I'd never seen. And thankfully, I've met him multiple times. You know, always gracious. And just, he remembers everything, too. Yes, Mr. McFeely was kind of like that, too. He remembered me when we went to Pittsburgh, and I just met him once. Certainly he knew Charlie like they were old friends. So in some ways, they were a bit similar.
Very similar.
A unique guy, Charlie, and so glad that he was a part of the station.
But as we all are. So today, 4:10 until 6 p.m., a two-hour retrospective audio broadcast of a look back at the career of Charlie Evers through his own words and his own voice, Bratwurst Festival, Mr. McFeely, first and last broadcast here, phone calls he took on the air, and a whole lot of other great things. That'll be a great thing to listen to.
Grandfather announcement also, that's one we hear about too.
That's a great moment.
I'll post it on the website and it'll be available for on-demand listening this evening. So
perfect. So after it airs on WWGH from 4 to 6, it'll be available on the website, WWGH1071.com.
Switching gears a bit, Scott, anything else going on your end? Do you have any other friends or associates like myself who have gone to the gym and gone to restaurants multiple times since that became allowed? Do you have any perspectives?
Well, I went to the restaurant on Friday night, and I thought it was very interesting because I went to a very popular restaurant here in town, and I was there at 5 o'clock on a Friday night, and there were only about two other tables in the entire restaurant.
A popular restaurant yesterday. I've been there twice. And literally, there was the only person there, and you know, it was 11:45 lunchtime yesterday. Me sitting at this table. I mean, because they know what I like to eat, so they just make it ready for me. You have to call and get a reservation and sit in your car till they text you. Restaurants are not going to make it, Scott. Even if they were at the capacity allowed, it's really very sad. The economy is not going to be too good. We've already lost March Madness and St. Patrick's Day.
You're right. I worry about the restaurants. The restrictions put on them are going to be very troublesome, and apparently this is going to be around for quite some time for them, and I don't know how that's going to shake out in the end. I would think not very good. We'll hope for the best, but I really don't know at this point. Are you there, Adam? I think we lost Adam again. But that's, you know, that's about the point of it. I don't know what's going to happen with these restaurants. I think that's very, very, very tough. If business does not pick up and you are a franchise or a local business, I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to hold out. It's going to be tough. I know that corporate stores probably will stay in business. But other than that, I do not know. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, we'll try again, Scott. And the multiple things that are happening, you really don't know. You think what it'll be like 6 months from now. And this has come up, Scott, in my conversations with people. We're getting close to Ohio State football season in practice. Could you imagine the devastation if there is no OSU football? And do you think there will be OSU football? Will it be 100,000 people in the stands? And that certainly isn't following social distancing. As well as, Michigan, the oldest school in the area, they get 100,000 people in a game. That's three times the population of Marion. Do you think we're going to have college football later in the year with spectators, 100,000 people in the stands?
You know, I would guess not, to be honest with you.
I don't think so. What do you think the effect would be on the economy? I mean, could you imagine no Ohio State football?
I don't know if there'll be no Ohio State football, but I think there might be no fans in the stands. I can see that. I don't know if they'll cancel the whole season. I don't know the effects on the players, and I don't know what kind of gear they would make them wear, or if any, if they're on the field, or if they'd make them sign waivers. I really don't know how that all shakes out in the end.
Yeah, that to me, I mean, because we're getting into that period. I mean, July practice, and certainly professional practices start. Once you get into late summer, there's football fever. Yeah, I'm not a big OSU person, but I understand the impact on the economy and that it is important and it brings money here. Gives us fame, something to be proud of. And you're not just OSU. I mean, you know, you're not far from U of M and from the Indiana schools. What do you do? I mean, how do you balance the risk with something that's so important and it's certainly a bone of contention. And, you know, you know how I feel. You know, I feel for the restaurants because they're very important to the economy. So I don't know what you do. I mean, and I've been known to kind of change my mind every time. But I'll mention, you know, I probably saw me talk online. My gym I normally go to is closed until June 1st. That'll be a depressing, but I did get a short-term membership at a gym by my house, which I really like. There's no issues there, Scott. I mean, the place is so clean anyway. I think it was always this clean. I feel safer there than at Walmart. I mean, people just conduct themselves in the proper way. And nobody's wearing a mask either, just to let you know. So I have no issues at all. I'm happy to talk about it and happy to take criticism, but that's kind of how I feel.
Well, it's funny. I do know that people are angry that people aren't wearing masks at stores. You can't. A lot of stores are not enforcing that, but customers see a lot of other people not wearing masks, and they get very upset.
I mean, the issue is every mask is a little bit different, and a cloth mask or bandana has about 30% effectiveness outgoing, not much incoming, because the particles are very small. And I was thinking earlier, Scott, my degree is was in a field where I did a lot of particles. College I went to is literally one of the top schools, if not the top school, for types of particle science and how particles travel and how they do the things that they do. So actually, I wouldn't say an authority on this, but I do know quite a bit about it, and so I do believe a 30% figure, an N95 does work, but just using a bandana or a cloth mask, a 30% outgoing effectiveness. That's not too much. And you get a false sense of security. People think, well, I'm wearing a mask and I'm not going to catch anything. Well, that isn't quite the case. Not to mention the possible breathing issues. And also that you're recycling air that isn't clean. So that's kind of my perspective. You know, that may get a few haters out there, but I'll always say what I feel. And this issue, just like nothing I've never seen before. Do you agree, Scott? Do you think this is not just the virus itself and the repercussions, but the economy, the controversy? You know, opinions from people like myself, do you think that this is the biggest thing to happen in the country since the Civil War? Is that logical to go that far?
I think it certainly hasn't. There's been nothing that's affected as many people, and I think it probably has even affected more people than the Civil War did, because...
Yeah, of course, we have more people in the country, of course, so, relatively speaking, but, you know, it's tragic deaths over 100,000 people. That's not something to take lightly.
No, it'll be interesting how it all plays out, and by the time it's over, where we are and what...
Yeah, it's really very sad. This will be talked about for a long time, and you know, I don't know what to say, but I have an opinion or two, certainly. And well, is that every day is a new day?
Well, that's true, and we take them one at a time.
Okay, Scott. Well, we invite our listeners to listen between 4 and 6 for a tribute to the late, great Charlie Evers. And I'll continue to listen because, you know, I usually do spy on your show every morning. And I do enjoy it. And have a great day, Scott. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open, 42 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Don't forget, James Anderson on with Glenn Copel today from 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then Swap Shop from 12:10 until 1 p.m. The Adam the Computer Guy Show from 2:10 until 3 p.m. today. And the Charlie Evers Retrospective today, born to broadcast from 4:10 until 6 p.m., produced and hosted by Adam Lepp. Don't miss that. 740-383-9944. All right, looks like we have another phone call coming in here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Yeah, I got a little... Stop, Charlie.
Oh, go ahead.
Remember back when you had your Christmas party?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I called in, and you played that clip.
I did.
I think about it every now and then, and I still chuckle when you replay it now.
Well, I'm glad you have a good sense of humor about that, because right. I know it was meant in fun, but it's a hilarious clip.
Yeah, it was fun, and I enjoy what I hear. I think everybody likes the Moon Giant and his Acob, but I'm not a fan of either one of them. But I'm going to drink a double header of bourbon today in his honor.
Well, there you go. Drink them back for Charlie. I appreciate that. I'm sure he does, too.
All right. You have a good one.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
There we go. And it is a funny clip, and we've played it the last 2 days. And, you know, we're not going to play it again now, but if you hear it... Now, I'll tell you something about this clip, and I'm not going to play it. We've played it twice. But, oh, man. You know, I was driving in this morning, and that clip came on. And there's just something about it. Timing is everything. And we were coming back from that 11:45 break back on December 20th last year. And we had had a few drinks of eggnog up until that point. And it just turned into something very interesting, as you have heard. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott. How you doing? I hear you made it through the holidays.
I did. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just terrific, man. Doing terrific. Hey, fill me in on what kind of big deal did you get into over the weekend?
Well, here's what happened.
Don't tell it all, because it'll probably take you the rest of the week.
Well, that's right. I don't want to end up at the police station either, because you never know how these things work.
I heard that.
Well, here's what happened. I had this Memorial Day cookout at my house. And what happened was that I invited a lot of people over. Now, here's the interesting thing. Everybody showed up, which is a rarity. Everybody I invited showed up. I had family members there. I had friends there. I had people from the radio station there. Jeff Ruth was there. Mary Ellen Withrow was there. We had a really nice time, and I consider both them very good friends. But I was a little nervous going into it because this group of people had never been together before, and I thought, oh goodness, this is all happening at my house. Are we going to have enough food? Is everybody going to get along okay? How's this all going to go? And I'll tell you, it could not have gone better. Everybody talked to each other. Everybody had a good time. People who had never met before talked to each other and laughed. And I don't think there was a person there that day who did not have a good time. Well, there might have been somebody there that day who didn't have a good time, but they didn't tell me that. And most of the people there said they had a terrific time. And the point of this is that what I have learned is I think sometimes when you're having a party, it's good to get people together who don't see each other all the time or who haven't met, because you see those people all the time.
Right.
So I think when you get people together who haven't met, it's a fun thing. So what I wanted to say about this cookout was I think everybody was happy, maybe except one person, and I'm not even sure they were unhappy, but everybody else was.
But what did you say, everybody had a good time except one person. Well, you know, if that one person was unhappy, he had a right to come, and he had a right to leave. I mean, he could just left and been done with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right. They should be happy enough that I invite them over.
Yeah. You had enough respect to invite him over. And you kind of appreciated him coming. But you would have probably appreciated him if he had to come begin with. But he did. And if he got upset, you probably wouldn't have thought too much of it if he just left.
Well, that's right. I have this innate thing inside my bones that when people are unhappy, I tend not to care.
I mean, if you don't do nothing, if you didn't do nothing to him, to insult him or whatever, you know, you're the one that's responsible for the party. If you didn't do nothing to the guy or upset the guy for no reason, just let him leave.
Well, that's right. And some people, I think, just have maybe a disposition where they seem unhappy, and maybe they're not unhappy. And, you know, nobody told me they were unhappy. Let me say that. Nobody came up to me and said they were unhappy. A matter of fact, most people from the party either sent me an email the next day or sent me a message or told me in person, hey, I really had a great time.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it'll be the thing to do to get together and have these parties.
Yeah.
But I think next time I do not want to be in charge of the meat because, you know, We're in the middle of a meat problem here in this country, so I think I want to handle the potato chips next time.
It's hard to satisfy. Scott, if you've got very many people, it's hard to satisfy everybody. Somebody's got to stand down somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's right. And as a good host, I try to, if I see somebody who I think is looking unhappy or disinterested, I try to go over to them and say, oh, how are things okay? Are you doing okay? Are things good? You know, I try to do that.
Yeah.
Now, if they told me they weren't, I would just tell them to leave anyway. It's not like there'd be a whole lot of nurturing there, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Scott, you had a good party, you had a good time. But it was on your at your house, outside. I'm assuming it was outside.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know. Now, you're outside. You're not. If you ain't hugging, you know, you got to get. I know they weren't in real hugging and kissing condition. I mean, you know, together. If you got any kind of distance at all when you're out in the outside, I think you're safe, but the biggest problem is inside. Inside a store, inside of anywhere, let's put it that way.
Well,
I hear the churches went back. We've got our church, we belong to the church. It was down, you know, the churches and everything was down, you know. But I went back for Labor Day, the first time I'd been back for a couple months or more. And, Scott, I could not believe my eyes with the people we had. And nobody, you know, they're in pretty hot pursuit of masks and so on and so forth and close contact, you know that. And We've got a lot of respectable people. Let's put respect. If you lose respect, I think that's pretty awful.
Oh, I would agree.
You got respect. Everybody's got respect, one way or the other. If you lose it, that you got no respect for yourself. You got no respect for nobody else. And I can't put it any plainer than that. If they don't like it, that's tough. But you got to have respect for the other people the same as you have respect for yourself. Well, if you don't have it to yourself, you can't have it for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, let's look at it that way.
Well, that's true, and because, you know, when everybody arrived, they were in my house for a moment because everybody did bring something, and they brought it into the house and laid it there. So what happened was, after it was over on Monday, since everybody had been in my house, what I did is I just sold my house and moved to a new neighborhood because I was fearful of this whole coronavirus thing.
Scott, you know, I'm not too awful worried about getting it myself, but I'm worried about getting it to my family members or anybody else. You don't know where you got it or not, you know? But anyway, going back to the church, I could not believe even to the pastor. So we had no shaking hands, you know, blah, blah, blah. And didn't have no mess with this. All of these people were in there, and I said, I don't believe this. So I had my gloves on too. You can, you know, a lot of this. Well, you know, this stuff is out there, and it's out there, and it is catching. If you get in contact with somebody's got it, or always hot pursuit, always been, you gonna get it. The plain and simple as that. And look at the numbers; it's killing, and it's killing. You know, I don't want to take any unnecessary chances. I don't want to be around anybody that's taking any unnecessary chances. If I go to the store, I go to the grocery store once in a while. I have to, you know, I got to go to the grocery store and get something to eat. If I am coming in close contact with somebody and it's not blah, 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 I get as far as I can out of their way. No. That's me. That's me.
I've got my mask on, I got my gloves on. So this guy's a coming and he got nothing. I just don't want to get in contact with him whatsoever. 4 feet from him as I can see, that's what I'm going to do. So whatever he wants to do, I can't help. But what I want to do, I'm going to, that's me. So that's what I call respect. I have respect for the other people. I really do. And if we got to stop this virus somehow, Scott, somewhere along the line, because I'm scared that this virus is going to be tremendously violent here, I'd say towards the last of next month, June, with all of these get-togethers, a space on these people on the beaches, and all these get-togethers, it's going to spread like wildfire, Scott. What are we going to do if we have to shut the economy down again?
Oh, I think that would be bad, because I think...
devastating.
Oh, we can't have that.
Well, if it comes back with the vengeance, all these people are going to get sick. 90% of them can't work. And all these doctors and nurses are going to be... Hey, it's going to be devastated, I'm afraid. I hope not. I hope and pray that it doesn't happen that way. But... with the get-together having without protecting each other, it's gonna spread like wild. I think it's bad now. This winter wall. We've already lost 100,000 people. That's more people died in that than all the wars we've had except World War II. Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, all these. We got more people died from this virus, and people got killed in them wars. Now you think about it.
Oh, it's awful, and it's a horrible number. And when I saw that number yesterday, it's shocking when you see it for the first time. And you know, there's really nothing more to say. It's just factual. It's 100,000 people, and it's continuing, and it will continue, and it's going to get above that. And we don't have any kind of vaccine ready to go.
Nope.
So I guess we can just, at this point, hope to goodness that we are doing the right things and trying to do the right things. And, you know, people, this is what I always said. I always said, if you left the restaurants open, would people come to them knowing what they know? Well, my guess is no, because the restaurants I've been in, and as Adam reported there, it doesn't seem like people are going to the restaurants. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing at this. I don't know. I hate to curse the restaurants and say that I'm happy that they're not busy, but I also don't want the disease to be spread. So it's a very complicated subject.
It really is. It's very difficult to keep the rest as catchy as it is. You see, this is invisible. You don't know where it's at. You don't know who's got it. You don't. It's just invisible. It's a complicated, I feel for the restaurants. You're absolutely, I really feel for the restaurants. Or I feel for the stores or whatever. But now Walmart, well, I don't know about that. But anyway, I feel for the grocery store. I feel the people out front, the nurses, the waiters, whoever. They're the ones that's got to put up with this, to do the cleaning, and fix the food. They got to be somebody out front. But to keep this virus from spreading is just absolutely, it's just almost impossible with what is going on in our society today. Now, I'm not going to get it. Oh, my parents ain't going to get it. My family ain't going to get it. Somebody's parents is dying every day. And if you don't listen to the numbers, 100,000 people has been died with this stuff, and people says, "Oh yeah, he ain't gonna hurt me, he ain't gonna bother me." 100,000 people has already been killed with it. If we don't stop it, it's gonna keep right on going. It may not, it may slow down, but Scott, I am scared to death that it's gonna devastate here the next month.
Well, I just hope we can all take a deep breath and realize that fear is the enemy here, and say that it's a viral disease, so as long as we stay away from places, there's no way we can catch it. And I think if we take that attitude, I think we'll be fine. We may not be quarantined or directed by the government at some point to stay at home anymore, but I think we can still do, the way to get rid of fear is knowledge. And knowledge about this will tell you that you can't, the only way you can get it is to come in contact with somebody else who has it, or some object possibly that they've been touching, and as long as we don't do that, to the best of our ability, we'll all be okay, and we'll all come out on the other side okay.
It really, truly, if you just slow down, get your calm, it's just almost got impossible to get away from it. Like you say, touch it. It's so scary if you really think about it, but it's best not think about it. But if you're going to try to control it and keep away from it, you got to think about it. You can carry it on anything.
That's
you
true.
You can carry this. You can spread this anyway if somebody's infected. You know, if somebody's infected with it, you know, they sneeze on it, they cough on it. If you're inside, it droplets on it. You carry it on your feet, you carry it on your hands. That's what the ideal is, trying to keep. If you got it and you got something on, that you're around stuff that other people's going to bob. You know, if you sneeze and you got it, it's going to go on the floor, it's going to go in the air. But if you got the mask on, maybe it'll help some. Same way with your touch it, your gloves off. I know it just sounds crazy, but think of the way you can spread it and the way you can get it. You sure what I'm talking about?
I understand.
It's catching, and it's devastating. All the people are going to be killed with it. Plus, what survived it, you know, we got to have people that survived it now. But, guy, if there's something wrong with you, an older person or a younger person, if there's something wrong with you, adds to this virus and health wise, son, you about had it, but a healthy person can, you know, they can pretty well fight it off. But the vulnerable people, how many vulnerable people have we got in the world? Look at them, it's dying. Now, something's wrong.
You're right. I tell you, you'll have to call back in tomorrow. I'd love to continue this because it's interesting. But I tell you, Glenn Coble and James Anderson are coming up next. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. And I'm done for the day. Glenn and James coming up, and then Glenn at 12. Adam the Computer Guy at 2 today, and then the biography, Charlie Evers Born to Broadcast, put together, produced and hosted by Adam Lepp, 4 to 6 p.m. today on this station. Don't miss anything, and I will talk with you tomorrow morning.
I was not friendly to them. I'm always nice to everybody.
What was it like to sit next to Dick Cheney?
Uncomfortable.
Do you like a Jeb Bush or a Christie as far as, is that good competition for her or tough?
I think she can beat the pants off of both of them. But, you know, I mean, when Ted Cruz announced, everybody, bring it on, baby. It's been nice talking to you.
Thank you, Joy.
Take care.
Bye-bye. This is a man who's had a long relationship with boxing. He is HBO boxing analyst.